Part 5, Section 32. War encircles the flame. As that land of unfading splendor disappeared into the haze of the sea, perhaps Lua relived her long ago visit when she looked upon the master for the first time. Was it possible that it had all happened 18 years ago? It seemed like yesterday. Prominent among her memories must have been the excitement and drama of those first Baha'i meetings in Paris which followed that pilgrimage, when Abdu'l-Bahá had sent May Maxwell to open Europe to the faith of Baha'u'lláh. Imagine, for the first time on this planet, an entire continent was being introduced in terms it could understand to a faith which was soon to encircle the world. People were being told that Christ had returned. The promised one of all religions had appeared. These noble souls, heroines and heroes, were the forerunners in the West of a tidal wave of teaching that in little over half a century was to establish centres in some 50,000 places in the world. Their spiritual children and their children's children would soon raise up over 100 national spiritual assemblies representing more than 300 countries, territories, and dominions. These two partners, the communities of believers from the cradle of the faith in Persia and the cradle of its administrative order in America, would be leaders in establishing on a local, national, and international foundation the Christ-promised kingdom of God on earth. They, with their fellow Baha'is in all lands, would participate in the first Baha'i World Convention and the election of the Universal House of Justice, that supreme administrative body called for by the pen of Baha'u'llah himself. The excitement of those early days in Paris became even more enthralling when Abdu'l-Bahá sent them one of the most gifted and brilliant teachers of the East, Mirza Abu'l-Fazl. His task was to deepen and strengthen Abdu'l-Bahá's Western children. This peerless messenger from Abdu'l-Bahá opened new horizons of understanding and helped prepare them for their world-encircling mission of teaching. Who would have foreseen this mighty harvest during those beginning days in Paris? Lua, certainly, and May Maxwell, and perhaps a handful of those other God-intoxicated teachers who made the capital city of France sing with their song of the kingdom. One can almost hear Lua as she stands at the rail of her ship, looking back for the last time at Mount Carmel and dreaming of those early days, the first pilgrimage, the night she told her mother about the faith, above all, the master's visit to America. Down the corridors of time, we can hear her quietly whisper, "Such days, such days." Agnes Alexander, one of only three believers to be mentioned by name in Abdu'l-Bahá's Tablets of the Divine Plan, was there at the Paris meetings. She soon left for the Orient to ignite the light of the Baha'i faith in Hawaii and Japan. She wrote with a special tenderness of those days of rapture. An atmosphere of pure light pervaded the Paris meetings, so much so that one was transported, as it were, from the world of man to that of God. Juliet Thompson, Lua's dear friend Julie, also attended and told of the love that bound Lua, May, all of them together. That Paris group was so deeply united in love and faith, so carried away, so intoxicated with love for the beloved master, our great teacher Mirza Abu'l-Fazl, so heavenly wise, that those days were the days of miracle, of all but incredible confirmations. Who would have dreamed that in such a short time the earthly dust of the immortal Lua and that of the illustrious Abul Fazl, they who had met each other in Paris, would lie beneath a single monument along the shores of the Silver Nile in Egypt. Or that the brilliant, eloquent child of Lua's heart and tongue, May Maxwell, would also win a martyr's crown in far-off Argentina, a country so remote from her native land. Both Lua and May, obedient to the summons of their beloved master Abdu'l-Bahá, had arisen to teach the cause of God with every breath of their lives. They had become pieces of iron in the midst of the fire, filled with the Spirit. Their candles had wept away their lives drop by drop and shed imperishable luster upon the American Baha'i community. Abdu'l-Bahá was later to write, "Among the miracles which distinguish this dispensation is this, that women have evinced a greater boldness than men when enlisted in the ranks of the faith." Both Lua and May had been privileged to return to that blessed spot on a second visit, with their banners flying like soldiers in gladness and triumph. They went out again into the battle for a final time, both to lay down their lives on behalf of their precious faith, so that people in all lands might know about Baha'u'llah, the Redeemer of men, the only hope for present-day society. Such memories of the past and visions of the future must have inspired and encouraged Lua as she sailed away that final time from the land of her heart's desire, from that snow-white spot, that nest of all the prophets of God. Lua never reached America. She sailed from Haifa with 290 refugees on board a United States cruiser and finally reached Egypt via the island of Crete. When Lua reached Egypt, she became desperately ill and was forced to leave the ship. And while she was in Egypt, the war encircled her. But Lua's heart, impatient to be off this planet, now that it could no longer be with the Master, braved every danger.